On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
A couple of family activities you want to put on your calendar. One of them is Freedom Celebration. It was announced at the Easter Sunrise Service at University Stadium. Expo New Mexico will be the venue this year, and it's happening Saturday, late in June. So if you want details, go to freedomabq.com. But you're invited to come out. It's a free event, festival-style 4th of July celebration. Featuring Christian music, chart toppers, and a bunch of rising talent. We'll hear from Jeremy Camp, as well as Passion, featuring Christian Stanfill. Jordan Feliz will be out there. And, of course, locally, our Calvary MSC worship team for that evening. A message from Skip Heitzig and a great night of fireworks at Expo New Mexico. And, again, the website is freedomabq.com. June 28th, actually, is the date for that. So mark it on your calendars. Lots of you marked on your calendars the Cape New Mexico Homeschool Convention. Gets underway, actually, tonight is the free evening at Legacy Church. Details at cape-nm.org. And we thought it would be timely to catch up with our friends at Focus on the Family, specifically Rhonda Robinson, an early homeschooling movement person and who serves as manager and content producer for Focus on the Family's parenting and youth department. Rhonda, thanks so much for taking the time today to join us.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to speak with you today.
It sounds like you and I, you know, we didn't get a lot of time to talk prior to jumping into today's interview, but I don't know. We have six children. Our oldest is 39 this year. And we, at that time, you know, nearly four decades ago, jumped right into homeschooling. And not, you know, not new to America, Rhonda. I think you and I both know in the 19th century was much more common than it was in the 20th century. But it's come a long way in some areas. And today we hope to, let parents know about some of the advantages, disadvantages, and address some of the concerns. But Rhonda, let me ask you this, since I know that you have been at this a long time, familiar with the homeschooling movement. What drew you to that, I'm going to guess, decades ago?
Yes, it was definitely decades ago. So don't you just love how that just really dates us? it was in the mid 80s, and that was in a time when homeschooling had a really bad connotation to it, and it was the local schools took an affront to it. For me, I came to homeschooling because it was necessity. Oddly enough, though, I have to tell you this. First of all, I had first heard of homeschooling, and maybe you did too, through Focus on the Family when Dr. Dobson interviewed Dr. Raymond Moore. And I thought, oh, that sounds so perfect. That sounds, he talked about it being parenting and letting children be children and not shove them into a mold. And I latched onto that. But then fast forward a few years later, my son was ready to start school, and he was what I call an edge walker. Dr. Dobson would have called him a strong-willed child. I thought, I think I've been taking you away for a little while would be a really good thing for everybody involved. I just thought that would be great. And then what I realized was that we had suspected it, but he had a hearing loss. And his hearing loss is severe enough for bilateral hearing aids. So then I was convinced. It's not just me. It's not just him being strong-willed. He needs a professional. And so I sent him to school for the first 3 years. He failed to learn. He was one of those children that just literally fell through the cracks. And one day I was sitting at the table with all of his teachers and social workers and principal, and all sitting around the table, and they informed me that he didn't learn anything again that year, in spite of repeating second grade twice in a row. We were looking at going into third grade, and they wanted to put him in a learning disabilities class. And my heart sunk. I said, he's not learning disabled. And they said, no, he's not. But he does require one-on-one. And frankly, Mrs. Robinson, we don't have the staff or the time to give him that one-on-one attention he needs. And I knew right then. I thought, no, you don't, but I do. And that's what started our homeschooling journey.
And yeah, look how the perspective changed quickly. In hindsight's 2020. The best person equipped for your child, disabilities or not, I think we'll find by the end of our conversation, may be you. And I wanted to say is you, but we can address that too. You know, is homeschooling? Well, let's do it. I brought it up. Is homeschooling for every parent?
No, it's not for every parent, but I will say this. It's not, while homeschooling may not be for every parent, the responsibility to make sure that your child is educated is for every parent. Misnomer that, yeah, we think that when we're starting to homeschool that now we're adding education to our responsibilities. No, we've always had that responsibility. So parent has to decide is what is the best for your child. You know, we live in a one size fits all society. Like you said earlier, we're still dealing with a 19th century model of education. You know, in this day and age, is also kind of, you think about it, how archaic can we be to think that we can prepare children to go into the next, into adulthood in the next 20, 30 years. Look how fast technology and everything's changing. And we're going to prepare them for that using the same system that we had in the 19th century.
You know, you shared a story and what you just said, I want to share a quick story. Now and you may feel the same way, although, you know, this is kind of your bailiwick, you know, knowing about homeschooling. I wouldn't consider myself among the best of homeschooling parents. My wife much better than I was with it. However, we raised six children, all grown now, and all, you know, as far as their place in the workforce, doing just fine. But in testimony to, you know, how well can we prepare them if we homeschool? I have many more stories than this, but one that comes to mind is one of my children who has no more than a high school education and is still at the same place where this was the occurrence. But I know at one time he had like 30 MBAs working for him. You can equip children to grow through, you know, in their education through homeschool, and they can be prepared to enter the workforce, which really addresses maybe one of the concerns that people address when it comes to homeschooling, and those that are quite honestly, and I'm not saying this in a nasty way, but ignorant about it. They don't have the knowledge that homeschooling can be greatly, you know, successful. There's all, I'm sure you and I could go on and on about stories about our own kids and other kids. And actually one of my early memories, and you talk about parents' responsibility and where is it in education of your children? I remember when we officially decided to get a curriculum and jump into homeschooling with a co-op, and someone, you know, at a picnic or something came up and said, so how long have you been homeschooling? And quite honestly, I quickly thought about it. Well, my oldest is five. So five years I've been homeschooling, even prior to curriculum. And the truth is we're educating them right from the get-go.
We are, you know, I like to say homeschooling is just parenting. It really is. Our children are born and we take care of them through every stage, right? Like you were saying, for 5 years, in the beginning, it was to teach them where to go to the bathroom and what not to put in their mouth. And then it becomes numbers, and it grows from there. It is just parenting.
Yeah. Well, listen, for those who just joined us, we're visiting with Rhonda Robinson. She's the early homeschooling movement expert that we've brought in to bring us up to speed on what parents can be considering and answer some of the questions and concerns they have. She serves as manager and content producer for Focus on the Family's parenting and youth development. Rhonda, we're going to take a quick break. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. We're going to come back and address some of those real issues and concerns that you may have if you're considering or have ever considered, maybe you're hearing this and for the first time are considering, is homeschooling an option? We'll get to that and more after the break on ABQ Connect. Well, we're continuing our conversation with Rhonda Robinson with Focus on the Family's Parenting and Youth Department on the topic of homeschooling. And Rhonda, when we went to the break, we promised to come back and talk about some of these issues and concerns that parents have when considering homeschool, or maybe grandparents have about their grown kids who are choosing to homeschool their kids. One of the ones that you and I have both heard come up: will your children develop as well socially if they're homeschooled? How do you respond to that?
They will develop better than they would have if they were in the school system. There is such a myth around socialization. We tend to think that if we put children with peers of their own age and we put them in an artificial environment where they can't get away from them, that's socialization, that they learn how to cope and they learn how to socialize. No, they actually learn the pecking order and they actually learn conformity. They don't learn real socialization. In a homeschool setting, a child interacts all day long with adults. In a large family, such as yours and mine, they learn to interact with small children and older children. And they're not trapped in one room or one building all day long. They have the ability to get out and meet people and spend time with those grandparents. Go to a nursing home. They have so much time for interaction that they actually develop so much better.
Yeah, you know, one of the illustrations that I use with friends and family who, you know, back when we had those questions coming at us was, well, friend, let me ask you, after you were done with school, how often did you find yourself in a room with 30 or 40 people all the same exact age?
Exactly.
And it's exactly what you described. In homeschooling, it's closer to real life, I would say. One of the other concerns, how can you instruct your kids as effectively as private or public school teachers? So there, I think we're touching on a couple things, aren't we? Their level of education, the instructors, but then also the issues that come up with the content that they're being delivered, this whole feeling at many, if not most, or all public and private schools, that all of a sudden these instructors often, or institutions, will make it clear that they believe these children are theirs.
Yeah, we've really started moving a lot more towards that, haven't we? I mean, I remember talking about parental rights, you know, in the 80s and 90s, you know, the question was, who owns the children? Is it the state or the parents? The state takes the side that only they're highly educated and their very controlled curriculum should be educating children. But I think God has a different view of that. I think that we are to teach our children one-on-one and to see them for who they are, to see. I mean, we have creative children, we have analytic children, we have children that are talkers, we have children that are thinkers. And a parent can not only teach that child according to their strengths, which is completely opposite of what a school room does. They have to level the playing field. You can't be way above and you can't be way down, right? You can't be advanced. You can't be, you know, you can't be over advanced. They have to level the playing field because they have to teach everyone at the same time, right? In a homeschool setting, if that child can zoom through 3 years of schoolwork in a year and a half, that's wonderful. And you can let them do that. If they need extra time to learn those, to learn math, to be able to have that one-on-one reading time, you can do that. And there's so many curriculums and support groups to help a parent. We don't have to manage a classroom. We have to just parent our child and help them learn step by step at their own pace.
Yeah, I really appreciate the individuality as far as the instruction to the children. It kind of goes back to what I said earlier. How often do you find yourself not only in a room of 30 people or 40 people of the same age, but that all learn and do things the same way? As our kids were growing, I know as we saw a bent towards something, we fed that and encouraged it. The other thing I want to go back to is something I said where these teachers in public schools and institutions have said things like, you know, these are our kids now. A reminder that as a parent, they're really not even mine. They are his that I've been given stewardship over. These kids are the Lord's children, and we have a high responsibility in the training that we pour into them. Now, speaking of what, you know, parent-child, that relationship, what are some of the keys to maintaining that while also teaching?
I think the main thing is a lot of us come from the public school realm, right? Most of us, at least in my generation, we're not homeschooled. So we do have a second generation of homeschoolers now, which is awesome. But we tended to take the public school that we knew and bring it home, especially if it was hard. We thought, you know, if they didn't struggle, if you didn't make it, you know, academically rigorous, that it wasn't school. Well, the reality of it is we don't have to bring the public school into our living room. We can still be parents. And it goes back to what we were talking about is looking at their strengths. The school looks at their weaknesses and pounds on that. At home, a loving parent can see that child's strength and build on that. So they can, if they have a love for animals, then reading books and teaching them to read on about all about animals, it brings in that love of learning. And the one thing that I think that we have and that we can bring in as parents that a school utterly fails at is we can give our children a love for learning.
Yeah, that is key. It's so much easier to do when you're with them as they are working on that ability to be able to and desiring to learn. One of the other things that have come up is the idea of blended homeschool approach. Is this a viable option? And for those not familiar, if you could fill us in more what people mean when they say blended homeschool.
I think a blended homeschool can be good or bad, actually. If you're talking about a blended homeschool where the school is in complete control and you're simply doing school at home like we did over COVID, then that's not necessarily a good thing. Again, we don't want to bring the public school model into our home. But what we can do, your state or your district will allow, is take some of the best parts of maybe public school, private school, dual courses in high school with the college, as and implement that into your school. It doesn't have to be, when we were homeschooling, it was all or nothing. If you were homeschooling, for the most part, the schools shunned you. They didn't want you to have anything to do with you. Today, the educational establishment recognizes homeschooling for the most part as a viable option, and they want to step in any way that they can. So they can step beside you or they can step in. So I think that it's a good thing, but parents still need to be in control of what exactly your child is being taught.
Well, since the days when you and I were raising children through homeschooling, putting them through education that way, it has caught on somewhat more than it was back in the 80s and 90s. As a matter of fact, 6% of U.S. kids are homeschooled, and those numbers are rising. As people start to consider this, as we put a bow on this conversation, I want to give you an opportunity not only to address anything we may not have addressed, but also you mentioned state or district, you know, allowing certain things. When parents have questions like that, the legality of things. Now, when you and I were homeschooling, I want to say, you know, in a lot of places, homeschooling, quite honestly, was illegal. Now, I will say this, and I'm sure you have great resources. A reminder that the Cape New Mexico Homeschool Convention starts tonight with a free evening, kind of an introduction to homeschool. And then if we may want to do this, the convention really is Friday and Saturday at Legacy Church here in Albuquerque. But Cape New Mexico can connect you with resources as well if you have questions about legality or, you know, what do I need to do? Cape-nm.org. You can connect with them. But Rhonda, some of those other resources that are available, including a couple of books you put together.
Yes. Well, actually, my newest book, The Thriving Homeschool, A Christian Parent's Guide, is due out next spring. So we're still working on that. But Focus on the Family has quite a few resources for homeschoolers. We have a curriculum for high schoolers with Ray Vanderlaan, which is absolutely phenomenal. We also have still around Adventures in Odyssey and so much more. But I am so glad that you guys are having your homeschool convention tonight, or that's open to the public, because homeschooling conferences like that, that is where you're going to find all the resources that you could possibly want, and plus more, and you're going to get the support. That is something that every homeschooler should, or potential homeschooler should, attend every year.
All right. Well, Rhonda Robinson, she serves as manager and content producer for Focus on the Family's Parenting and Youth Department. Rhonda, we appreciate your time. Look forward to having you back on again. We may have to have you back on when we have David Jones with Cape New Mexico on and kind of work this in tandem. But appreciate all that you and Focus on the Family are doing, and look forward to having you back on again.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it as well.
All right, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.